Welcome to Imagine This Podcast. This is David Lee
and Mac Antigua.
We had a fun, very special episode of COVID-19 last week.
Yeah, that's the last time you'll hear very special and COVID-19 in the same sentence.
It's fun.
Yeah, but we try to make it fun. I think it was fun.
It was informative.
Yes. Speaking of informative, what are people listening to right now?
They're listening to Imagine This Podcast, yes. The podcast whereby we're Art Talk. We're like Car Talk for the arts. Is the new
instead of click and clack, we're paint and sip. Probably helps that you don't laugh too loud at the jokes, because then people at home are like, "It's really not that funny."
Oh man, no, paint and sip. I like it.
Can I be sip? You can be paint.
Yes, anything for you. Anyways, this podcast is meant to help our listeners understand and see our city's arts and culture, incredible arts and culture scene, in a different way.
So the side note for all this is that we've scripted out an intro, because one of the things I've learned about podcasts is people need to know what they're listening to. We're still building out the brand. We wrote this out, and I think it's fascinating that you wrote it out in the script, yet you don't read it.
Here we go.
So I'm trying to get meta for the people at home, because I heard transparency is good. They want to get to know us.
Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee. We hope that after listening to this podcast, you will see and experience our city and the incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
See, that sounds good, and people know what they're in for, and they could turn it off now if they're not into that. Or they go like, oh, I'm going to stick around.
Or they should just leave it on, because we are the nation's 250th podcast
for arts
category out of 480, I think, or so. So we're middle of the pack. We need people to
download,
listen,
link it, like it, click on it, share it, hashtag it,
tell
smack it up, flip it, rub it down, as Belle Biv once said.
and become our hashtag imaginary friends.
Hashtag imaginary friends. We want more imaginary friends. So thanks for being with us. Thanks for coming today. So let's pivot into it, David. We've all had the experience of being asked for recommendations, right? Be it a friend who asks us for, hey, where should I go eat this weekend? Or what you're reading? In fact, big data has been able to build algorithms based on clicks, be it thumbs up, smiley face emojis, or even hitting the like button. But let's talk about more than just a one-off. When was the last time you've been asked to curate like a series of things? Could be like a playlist, or hey, this. Can you think of a time that you've been invited, or you've relished that opportunity? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as some of you may know, I used to be a chef, and as part of that, I've often been asked to sort of curate people's menus, right? And the most recent time has been probably actually cooking dinner for you and your wife, randomly being at your house where your wife is like, hey, David, you should cook dinner for us. Why don't you go to the...
She's really good at those kind of requests.
Why
hey, you should do this. And I'm married into that.
So
I'm not complaining. I chose it. I chose that life. I'm not complaining. I chose that life.
So I think she sent me, while we were hanging out, she sent me to the supermarket where I got to go curate a lovely, I think it was burgers with like a collard green coleslaw.
Learned how you grilled a burger, and it was like, from now on, that's how I grilled the burgers from now on.
Oh, really?
You did it. Because that was like one of the best burgers I've ever had.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Lots I said it then. I'm not like fronting now because five people are listening to this podcast. I legitimately.
It's like more like 25, but we'll take it.
We're 250th in the country. Just for the tip, how to grill the David Lee way, you turn it hot. You sear that sucker.
Yeah.
For a minute on each side.
Yeah.
And then just indirect.
That's right. That's not the David Lee way. That's just the regular way of grilling.
Oh, okay. You said this is the David Lee way while you're doing it.
Did I say that?
You did the third person.
I feel like I might have said lots of salt and pepper.
Yes, lots of salt and pepper to make it a really crunchy.
That's right.
It was great. That was a great meal. I look forward to the next one you'll curate maybe tomorrow.
Let's hope.
Fingers crossed. All right, so my turn. Actually, one of our teammates, Lindsay, had asked me for her birthday. Instead of giving me a card, she asked me, hey, I'm going to Chicago. Can you curate me a day in Chicago in a neighborhood? Because that's where I lived for a long time. I still sort of spiritually call it home, root for those teams. That being said, I was like, okay. And I thought about Andersonville, which is on the northwest side. I used to live out by that way. And I thought, geez, where would I want to send people in Andersonville? Recognizing it's been about 15 years since I lived there, kind of do some cross-referencing. But it was really fun to curate a day for her. And I was really thinking about, while I was putting it together, I was thinking about sort of, I wanted her to get the feel of like how lovely the neighborhood is, the Swedish American history, the incredible, it's known as Girls Town, or was it, you know, there's Boys Town on the near sort of Lakeview side by Wrigley, but there was sort of informally called Girls Town because of a lot of the lesbian bookstores and sort of that was an area for that. And now it's still, even though it's been gentrified, it's still remnants of that, like great bookstores like Women's Children First and a lot of women owned businesses. So I just sort of thought of that and she went on it and she said she had a great time. So I was really proud of curating that experience for her.
It's a lot of talk about Chicago.
On a Milwaukee podcast.
That's right.
We did a podcast within a pod, which is Talking Chicago.
But that's a great lead in actually to our guest today.
That's right. So as you can surmise from these answers, we can really nerd out on curating something. Maybe that'll be another pod. But in essence, we love telling a larger story with the pieces that we put together. You know, there's an art to taking someone on a tour. And we believe that there's art all around us here at Engine MKE, and this is no exception. And to that end, after the musical bump, we're going to bring in somebody who thinks about the art of the tour all the time. That's Julia Griffith of Historic Milwaukee. Ooh, I like that.
Gold.
I like it. Thanks. We're pleased to have Julia Griffith. You can tell I liked it because it took me for a second. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good.
They're coming. March 27th.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. We're pleased to have Julia Griffith, Program Director of Historic Milwaukee, joining us today. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for putting up with that earlier banter.
It was entertaining.
I was totally fishing, wasn't I?
Yeah,
I was totally, I was fishing. I was leaning here. I'm like, say it's good, please. Say it's good.
I was looking at you as we were talking. I didn't want to look over at her because I was worried that she would have like this look of just disgust and feelings.
Hey, so enough about us. Julia, welcome. And we had met, you had had us over recently.
Yeah.
You and your team had us over recently to learn about Historic Milwaukee. And we were really inspired by that and thought about the art of the tour. Like, that's where I left that. And I wanted to have a pod. I pitched that to David. Like, let's have a conversation about the art of the tour.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I was left with is that y'all, you're not perceived as art and culture on some level at Historic Milwaukee, right? Like it's not one of those things that's readily thought of, but you all are. And that's why I was excited you're joining us today to kind of change that mental model. So Julia, welcome. And tell us a little bit about Historic Milwaukee, the mission and your work.
Yeah, so Historic Milwaukee is a nonprofit. We were founded in 1974. And our mission is to educate the public about history, architecture, and the built environment in Milwaukee. And as you said, a lot of people don't put us in arts and culture, but literally the built environment is the landscape of public art. It's the landscape of public programming of all kinds and has inspired a lot of people. Architects themselves are inspired by art. Our artists create beyond just the architecture medium. So they kind of go hand in hand, I would say.
And your role there is program?
Yeah, program director.
Yeah.
So I write and research all of our tours. I do updates. I work with general researchers for some of our other programs. We run two really big ones, Doors Open in September, and Spaces and Traces, which is an in-depth neighborhood tour in May. Again, fingers crossed we're having that one.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Yeah.
Really quick origin story. When did you know as a young person that this was going to be your destiny, writing the stories? And if not, what were you supposed to, what did you think you were going to do?
So I originally thought I was going to be a lawyer. My mom is an attorney.
Okay.
But my father actually, long standing love for automobile restoration. He's been restoring British cars from the 60s and 70s. Actually purchased a car when I was born 30 years ago and has since restored like, I don't know, 30 or 40 Triumphs. Austin Healy's.
I'm so glad
like
you went specs because I was like, are we talking Jaguars? Yeah. Are we talking Astons? Are we talking?
No, kind of that, not quite that like high profile.
Okay.
And
Citroën, Peugeot.
He's never done French. I wish.
I'm just naming car brands you're I've good. Seen in London now.
MGs, those kinds of things.
Oh, dope.
So what he really did was take something that was just essentially like a rusty chassis and restored it. Had it painted, rebuilt the engine, rebuilt you know, did all the interior, everything. And he also happened to be a general contractor. So he was able to take something that was old and revitalize it. And that to me was magic as a kid, you know? And so I sort of fell in love with architecture and buildings. And that's how I came to preservation, is to say, here's this old decrepit building that has a great story to it. And how do we preserve and protect it and make it modern and functional for people today?
So. What a great story. I as we left, I remarked to Lindsay and Mac, it's like, Julia, she's one of those people that's doing exactly the thing that she's put on this earth to do. You know, like you meet a lot of folks who are just sort of like in a place doing the job that they landed in. But we really got the feeling from you that you are in the right place, right seat on the bus, going the right direction.
There's this lovely new mural you have at Historic Milwaukee, which if you haven't seen it out there, listeners, all eight of you, it's this beautiful mural of like 80 or so things about Milwaukee.
Yep.
Not just buildings, but also historical pieces, facts.
Yeah.
And even in that moment, like we only stood in front for 15 minutes, like you took us on a whirlwind tour of that. Because our eyes would sort of dart. I'm like, hey, what's up with the typewriter? Like, hey, so that's how I was affirmed in what you just said. Like, this person's exactly the right person to be with us in that moment. Yeah. So definitely do that. So back to the stories. Tell us about the stories that you've developed through your tours.
So one great tour that we just started last year was using the Hop Streetcar. And one of the things I think that comes from creating a good tour is you sort of set out on a path and you can kind of pinpoint, like, these are interesting points in a route. You know, the Hop Streetcar is a set route. The car runs on the tracks. So you can see interesting pieces of architecture, but it doesn't actually tell you a story. Mm. And the story that came out of the Hop Streetcar was actually urban renewal and a lot of the fabric that's not there anymore, things that were lost, and this connection that used to exist between what we call Yankee Hill or kind of the sort of residential area just on the other side of Wisconsin Avenue and Brady Street. Mm. That there was a sort of in-between interstitial neighborhood that didn't survive because they were going to run a highway through the middle of it. Mm. And so now we have a lot of 1990s era buildings that were built on lots that sat vacant for, 30 years. Wow. And so the Hop Streetcar, that tour really talks about that first wave of revitalization and then the second, because they built the streetcar to rebuild some of that infrastructure and development. And we're seeing that today as a result of the car being built and running.
So I just want to hear that real quick. Yeah. There were vacant lots because they were supposed to build something through it.
Yeah.
But then during the 90s, there was a boom, if you will, of that type of building, right? Because we got to convert the stuff.
Right. And we, it's sitting vacant and we could actually house people. So now if you're on Ogden, there's all of those red brick townhouses those are from the 90s. And that essentially stretches from where the Pick and Save grocery store is basically to the Jewish Museum.
And these are the pieces that you touch upon as you're doing that piece.
And then on the opposite side of the street, you've got churches that are Ferry and Kloss, who are huge architects in Milwaukee in the early 1900s. A church that has a ridiculous amount of Tiffany stained glass. It was kind of a keeping up with the Joneses, like who can donate the most to this church. So you have this real contrast of Yankee Hill, first settlers to Milwaukee come from New England Yankees. And then they have all this money, so they're going to, build churches. So you have this kind of new money, old money. Basically, how can we make this livable for everybody?
So let's do a micro example of that. Yeah. When does the story come to you? Like you said, does it come because you're putting the pattern together as you see these different things? Or did you kind of know about that Yankee Hill story and you built it around? Like, how did that one
So that one unfold? Snuck up on me a little bit.
Oh, okay.
More because you sort of, with a playlist, even like just to give somebody, because not everybody's researched and written a tour, but you sort of have a start and an end point and you're going to kind of fill the gaps and you want them to, the vibe, you want one to kind of feed into the next.
Yeah.
And you also want the first song on the playlist to talk to the last song on the playlist.
Okay.
Right. You can't just say, oh, we started and ended and isn't this great. But for that tour, The beginning is near our office, which is the historic Mackey building. So you're talking about a big economic driver, and it runs through the Third Ward. So we talk about the Third Ward fire. And then that had a lot of renewal and change because the fire destroyed basically everything in the Third Ward in the late, you know, early 1890s. Then it goes down to the edge of the Menominee Valley, which has had a huge resurgence and renewal from what it was, which was essentially a giant swamp. And then you come back through Yankee Hill. So you have all these stories of renewal kind of over time, but at different points and for various reasons. Because fire, nobody chooses to like burn their entire neighborhood down. And then you have this giant highway, so public transportation and transportation in general, and its impact on a downtown.
So reflecting a little back to your origin story, you're not originally from here, right?
Well, I grew up in Madison.
Got it. Okay, so you are from the States.
I'm from the Midwest, but I lived in Philly for 5 years. Wow. So that has really, I don't know if it's definitely colored a lot of, more in the sense of, you know, you were talking about gentrification in Chicago. Gentrification in Philadelphia is like wildfire. It takes off and it's gone and you can't do anything about it. And in Milwaukee, I've noticed there are definitely issues of gentrification, but the speed is slower. So some of my role is to sort of point out like, hey, that's important. We should think about it and take it into account and preserve it. And that sort of grapples with issues of preservation in terms of like, we need to cast it in amber and never change it, which isn't how I approach preservation. It's managing change. Right. And so when I think about a tour, like an urban renewal tour that we're talking about with the HOP, we're not vilifying any choice. We're just talking about the larger impact of that choice. Because some people say, actually, there's, you know, people want to rip out the 94 overpass over the Third Ward because they want it to be only pedestrian friendly.
Sure.
And that's got good, you know, has pluses and minuses.
Right.
Yeah.
But you have to talk about all of it.
I think one of the things that has, one of the issues that has been presented to us, right, is this idea that like when an area neighborhood needs or is looking for some redevelopment, you typically see artists come in first. And that's when people have a sense, right, that like something's going to change in the neighborhood and we might have to go somewhere else, right? And I think this sort of like, how do we figure out policies that might create non-displacement of sort of a cultural character or the historic sense of a place or the people who've lived there. I think that's super important, right? Because we don't want to change and just turn over complete neighborhoods, but yet the progress of I think to your point, change management continues to move forward.
Right. And I think we want people to live in safe places, like in terms of like the physical building they're living in, you want it to be safe. But I also think if we, like somebody like me, I feel like I need to be out there helping people who live in their neighborhood tell stories. We do house history classes and can train people on like, how do I know who lived in my house or, you know, what style my house is and how does it fit in the larger narrative of a place? And then also, I mean, well, in Milwaukee, there's this great program, Homeworks. They work with artists to purchase foreclosed properties and then do art in them. One of the success stories of that program actually is going to be open for our Spaces and Traces tour, which is awesome. But it's, you can sort of in a neighborhood that's maybe at risk for some reason, you can feel why it's important, but you have to empower people to talk about it with language that they maybe, kind of combining sort of terms of art, of preservation, and even like the city, like the way the city talks about architecture and things, and then their personal stories, which is kind of what I try to do when I talk about a tour, is to give people who've never been in a place or have been in a place every day of their entire life the language to say, this place matters to me because, and these are the things that I'm noticing. You know what I mean? Like I have this full skill set to say, these are architectural styles, but it's important to you and it makes you feel X, Y, and Z because of, you know, so you're tying the personal connection with all that history and you get to keep both.
I thought the coolest thing when we learned when we were during our visit is the are the home tours.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're yes. just asking people to leave their house yeah. and just bring people in because you get to see how people are living in these historic spaces.
Yeah. Right?
Which yeah. just seems really cool.
And externally, they look a certain way, yeah. but in 2020, they're living in them the way they want to live right. in them. And so it's really interesting. That's a story in itself.
Yeah, right? And it definitely turns the sort of house museum model on its head, which I think is important because yeah. it's not just a bunch of, you know, kind of old furniture.
speaking of stories, what let's talk about misconceptions of Milwaukee you've come across.
Yeah.
How do you come across them?
Well, the DNC is definitely helping with that. I think the biggest misconception, and I think it's true of most Rust Belt cities, but it's definitely true of Milwaukee. And it's changing some, but a lot of Milwaukeeans are like, Milwaukee isn't that great. Like, we're just kind of here. Or, you know, when you talk to people and you say, oh, yeah, I moved to Milwaukee. Like when I moved here back here from Philly, people are kind of like, really? I was like, yeah. Milwaukee is an internet, like not, I mean, now it is too, but it was an international city. We don't have a Panama Canal without Milwaukee. The industrial,
all right, you got our attention. Let's go dig in, give us a little taste of that one.
Okay.
You mean you're like, whoa.
So
Panama Canal.
Panama
right?
Canal.
The big one.
The big one. Yeah, really important.
The small one, of course. The
big one. You know, there's like mini golf courses that have Panama Canals in them, you know, like.
No, anyway, in Panama Shipping Channel.
Right.
They originally tried a lot of different sort of lightweight technologies to try and dredge to make this channel. But if we don't have manufacturing of, say, like an Alice Chalmers or any of the big companies that have been in Milwaukee forever, we don't have all the pieces to put together to build the drilling equipment and the dredging equipment that you need to make the Panama Canal. It doesn't happen without Milwaukee.
Wow.
We talked about at our office the typewriter and the QWERTY keyboard.
Both that blew our minds.
Invented in Milwaukee.
QWERTY. Home of QWERTY.
Everybody.
How are we not claiming that? How are we not sweat, you know?
Exactly.
We should flex that.
That's the biggest misconception is like kind of nothing happened. It's so many things have happened in Milwaukee that had a global impact.
Yeah.
And if we don't herald it, then we're just beer and cheese, which is great because I love beer and cheese.
Well, everybody has to go like, listen, we love beer and cheese. It's always like, it's cool. However, it's more than that,
it's
right?
It's so more much than, more than
beyond
that.
Beyond beer and cheese.
And the thing that I really enjoy, and it's one of the things I like to tie into all the stories, is the regular everyday people. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a blue-collar city. Blue-collar city built the Panama Canal. Like,
right.
There is nothing wrong with regular, it's one of those things on our house tour too. Like, I love talking about just regular everyday, like if a house has lived 120 years, and all it did was help grow families and support families. Yeah. Like that's what it's supposed to do.
Right.
So why can't we herald stories? One of my favorites is, Wisconsin was a really early pioneer in licensing midwives because Italian immigrant women who lived in the Third Ward were vital to their communities, well-trained in Italy, and wanted to be licensed in America. So Wisconsin was like, great, we can handle that. So, like, thank you, immigrant Italian women for giving us care for women. Like, that is, for most people, probably not, like, the be-all, end-all. But for a woman having a baby, amazing. So valuable. Mm.
I think you've just, like, underlined and double underlined the goal of this podcast, which is to really, like, help our listeners, the hundreds now.
We're listening to this. Hey, you should listen to this pod.
Well, there's going to be nothing to do, right? They're going to stay at home and listen to this pod.
Better kick these suckers out.
But that we're really, like, the content that we're putting through like this is really aimed, and I'm sure this aligns with your mission, right? Mm-hmm. Is to inspire pride in our friends and neighbors about this incredible place we live in, whether it's the ingenuity or the artistic excellence or whatever it is about our small region here by the Great Lakes. I mean, it's really incredible.
And I think the remnants of that is the buildings we've created, the ways we move about these spaces, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The legacy of what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And so even though that event happened in the past, it's still layered upon, you know, it's in our air.
Yeah. Right?
It's in the water we drink. Like that's the Milwaukee character.
Exactly.
That's part of it. It isn't just these things. I just want to One more piece about this notion of blue collar and that sense of people. Volunteers lead these tours.
Yeah.
Correct. And so what do you look for to execute the storytell? Like, can you talk about who is the volunteer that wants to volunteer for this? Right. Like, what's the profile of these folks and what's their journey to move from?
Yeah. First, I will start with huge shout out. Cause I personally could not give all the tours myself.
Yeah.
So I would literally have to divide myself in half to be in two places at once sometimes.
We haven't figured that part out
yet. No,
we
don't have that technology. I wish, right? So for a lot of people, they start with just a general love of Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Some of them have lived here their entire lives. Some are, longtime transplants or have recently moved here. Most have some love of either history, as we're talking about people, or architecture, and generally love talking to people. And really, those sort of are a good baseline, a good foundation, because you have to be kind of hungry to do your own research and look into things and sort of answer questions and have conversations. I also, push them a little bit on talking about some tougher issues. Like, we can be upfront and we can be honest about the really crappy way we treated Native Americans when, we rolled into town and things like that. It's important to be comfortable kind of talking about all of these layers. But we train everybody who gives a tour for us. We do guide training with me. We talk about architecture. We talk about Milwaukee history. And then a lot of it is just practice. Mm-hmm. You can read a script and deliver it, like literally looking at the piece of paper. But you have to really get comfortable. And again, I urge them all to read through a script and find their own story.
Right.
I'm an overprovider. I give you more information than you could ever say. But a lot of times it takes a personal investment in, I grew up in the Third Ward, or my grandmother was an Italian immigrant, so I really want to talk about that. Like, you have to bring your own flavor to what we're talking about. And that's why it's great, because every tour is different. Every time, it's the same good foundation, but that personal connection really helps you build the story around a topic that you love. So for me, if I give a downtown tour, my big thing is preservation. Mm. And the real Kickstarter for preservation was the demolition of the railroad depot down on the lakefront for the Northwestern Railroad. And that kind of happened overnight in the 60s. And it really stopped everybody in their tracks to say, hey, wait a second, what are you doing? We're taking things down. We don't want that to happen. Mm. So when you get to the art museum, you can look back through the entire journey that we've taken down Wisconsin Avenue and see the layers of history. 2017, 1911, 1973. So that's really what it's like. I always end with a call to action to say, look in your own community. What's not protected? What should be? Mm. Because anything can get taken down. And that's so that's my story as I give that tour. But other people talk about it as this lake has sustained me through my life. Like, it all kind of depends.
And overall, how many volunteers are doing the work at Historic?
We have 45 regular tour volunteers. Wow. And then for special events, it takes 600 volunteers to do Doors Open, and anywhere between 200 and 300 to do Spaces and Traces. But I have a core of 45 that I rely on for student tours, regular tours, all kinds of
things. And is there auditions? How does that work?
Not auditions. There's Mac an application. Oh, good.
No, I don't know about that. It's an inkling of an idea.
You're a chatty guy.
I think, but the problem is, I just do all these Chicago references. Well, this is where the Bulls got destroyed by Giannis and everybody. So maybe I wouldn't be the best.
You'd be the only place you go to is Fiserv, right?
Like, yeah, just Bulls have lost. The Bulls have lost 11 straight games to the Bucks. No, how do people get that?
We have an application form, and we do guide training actually right now, so May and April, and we put it on our website and notify people in advance.
It's open call for those that are listening, so right on. We also have a special power, David and I. We have the ability to make you the arts and culture czar of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it only lasts for about 2 minutes.
Fair enough.
So you get to implement any policy for 2 minutes.
Okay.
To make it a more vibrant arts and culture city. So, Czarina or Czar Julia, what are you enacting?
Okay. In Philly, they implemented a sweetened beverage tax on anything with added sugar, artificial sugar.
Okay.
1.5%. And it raised, in the first year and a half, about $200 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a lot of drawbacks,
That's a lot.
There's a lot of people fighting it.
It's a lot of
sugar.
Fair
enough. Yeah, it's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar.
And there are obviously people went other places. Yeah. But The program that they funneled the money into is called Rebuild. And the money is going into parks, libraries, and rec centers in they call it Center City, non-downtown neighborhoods.
Gotcha.
Predominantly low income.
Right.
And that's restoration, new construction, all kinds of things. Granted, we were kind of talking about it, like for me, arts and culture, also we're sort of scooping up architecture and those sort of places. But the number of people who go to parks, libraries, and rec centers to do cultural programming or arts programming and those kinds of things, I would do that and invest in non-downtown neighborhoods.
That is the second time somebody has mentioned tax parks. Tax for parks.
Yeah.
I think it was transit and the arts.
Sure. Yesterday. Yeah. We could tax beer. I mean, I'm going to get murdered for this, but like, we wouldn't have to be sugar beverages.
We want you to live after your term.
But not grain-based beverages.
No, I mean, so I think the pushback would be about equal sugared beverages or
grain-based.
Yeah, grain-based. Yeah. But, you know, you look at what you got.
That was a glorious reign, Julia.
Thank you.
It ended quickly, but we commit here at Imagine MK to carry out the purpose, the legacy of your reign, which was to, bring more vibrancy to areas that aren't downtown in the Third Ward that I'm hearing, and that they continue to be vibrant because of the investment in spaces. Heading in the home stretch, we like to close out every podcast focusing on the joyful abundance of arts and culture in Milwaukee, where we invite our guests to amplify and shout out something they love that more people should know about. Julia, what is something about Milwaukee arts and culture that you'd like to celebrate?
This is a pretty classic answer, but I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bungalow. It is kind of the signature for me. A type of architecture or sort of that, like we were talking about, the kind of humble home that has grown Milwaukee families for generations. Mm. So I'm going to go with the bungalow.
And which neighborhoods? Are there specific neighborhoods that they are more present in, or is it kind of throughout?
No, you see them everywhere.
You see them everywhere.
And that's,
okay.
I think, why. And they're ubiquitous, but the sort of selections, there's a particular, it's called a jerkinhead roof. It's basically cut off on the corner and has a flat kind of triangle.
Oh, neat.
And that you see a lot over and over in Milwaukee bungalows. So we're going to go with the really specific jerkinhead roof on the Milwaukee bungalow.
Love it.
I love it. Julia, thanks so much for being on the pod today. Let's plug it. Where can people follow up with you and Historic Milwaukee?
So our website, historicmilwaukee.org. And then we're big on Facebook at Historic Milwaukee.
Big on Facebook.
Aren't we all? No.
I'm big in France.
Japan.
Thanks so much, everyone, for listening to another edition of the Imagine MKE Pod. Be sure to rate us 5 stars, share us a positive review, link it out. It helps people find us. We want to move up to the lower 200s.
Hundreds at some point. Let's we need more imaginary friends.
More imaginary friends. Hey, if you want to talk to us, email us at pod@imaginemke.org. Hit us up on Twitter and Insta at @imagine_MKE or on the Facebook at @imaginemke.
Peace out. Yes. See you next week.
Bye.